thought crime.
Our home, the planet Earth, is in a galaxy just like this one. Every point of light you can see in this picture is a star, just like our sun. To give you a sense of scale, it would take 100,000 years traveling at the speed of light to get from one side to the other. A short time ago, NASA took a picture of what appeared to be an empty piece of space. A few days later, they developed this image. Every one of these points of light is a galaxy, just like ours. There are more than 3,000 galaxies in this one image. We live in a universe of unfathomable scale and incredible beauty. This really is a universe of infinite possibilities. This is the miracle of our existence. We've been given the opportunity to make our lives a paradise among the stars. But we've fallen far short of that. Is there something inherently wrong with the human race? Is that what we should think of ourselves? I don't believe we are fatally flawed, but we are fallible. We have tried to set up forms of law and government that safeguard the public good. But we haven't maintained the integrity of these systems, and they've been left open to abuse. I don't know anyone who hasn't expressed concern about one issue or another, from politics to poverty or seemingly endless wars. And depending on who you listen to, we could be headed for disaster and upheaval in every aspect of our lives, from the environment to our own personal liberty. But at a time when it's crucial that we're all involved in decisions that will affect our lives in very fundamental ways, so many people have just turned away.
By listening to this, you should be advised you're violating your listener's license agreements. You could be subject to suspension of your listener's license. You should disconnect now if you've come across this by accident.
This is not a war zone. This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people. It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people. It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people. It doesn't.
What we have in America today, we call it democracy, but it's not. We don't really have a democratic system. We have a system where bribery has been effectively made illegal, where money controls everything. And therefore, capitalists essentially control politicians and use them to grant themselves opportunities to extract money from people. I mean, it hardly can be described as capitalism, even.
Members of Congress, I have the high privilege and the distinct honor of presenting to you the President of the United States.
Thank you. Please be seated. Mr. Speaker, Mr. Vice President, members of Congress, distinguished guests, and fellow Americans.
Last month, I went to Andrews Air Force Base and welcomed home some of our last troops to serve in Iraq.
And more respected around the world.
War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is strength.
Not true. Lots of people talking, few of them know. You heard an abuse telling all of your life.
where we can restore an economy where everyone gets a fair shot and everyone does their fair share and everyone plays by the same set of rules.
Every day I work so hard, bringing home my heart and pain.
What's at stake aren't democratic values or Republican values, but American values. And we have to reclaim them. Let's remember.
But in among this terrible poverty, there were just a few great, big, beautiful houses that were lived in by rich men who had as many as 30 servants to look after them. These rich men were called capitalists. They were fat, ugly men with wicked faces. The capitalists owned everything in the world, and everyone else was their slave. They owned all the land, all the houses, all the factories, and all the money. If anyone disobeyed them, they could throw him into prison, or they could take his job away and starve him to death. When any ordinary person spoke to a capitalist, he had to cringe and bow to him and take off his cap and address him as sir.
Banks had made huge bets and bonuses with other people's money. Regulators had looked the other way or didn't have the authority to stop the bad behavior. It was wrong. It was irresponsible. And it plunged our economy into a crisis that put millions out of work, saddled us with more debt, and left innocent, hardworking Americans holding the bag. In the 6 months before I took office, we lost nearly 4 million jobs. And we lost another 4 million before our policies were in full effect. Those are the facts. Offering the people of this nation false hope. But here's what I think is true. That over the last 2 years, in an emergency situation, our basic attitude was, we've got to get some things done. But in order to do that, basically worked with the process as opposed to transform the process. And there's no doubt that frustrated folks. But
thought crime is a dreadful thing.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
But yes, we can. But yes, we can. But yes, we can. But it frustrates me. I think what I would say is,
yeah.
It's not going to happen overnight.
It's not going to happen overnight.
But Larry Summers did a heck of a job. Unintended. But
we know, because we've seen what you've had to say on the subject, how you regard Bush and Blair's record in the Middle East. Do you think Obama's no better?
Anyway, it's worse. I've been writing about it. I started writing about it before the election.
And in light of that, the fact that people have been resilient, that folks are still out there working and opening businesses, you know, working in the community, looking after their families, taking care of their responsibilities, that's encouraging. So there's still a lot of good stuff happening. But yes, we can. But yes, we can. But yes, we can. But
yes, we can. Yes, we can. But
people are frustrated. You know, a lot of folks are hurting out there still. And, you know, in that environment, I think they're hoping that we can do a little bit better here in Washington, a little bit different.
Officer 338 was just wilding out on dude. Officer 419 and 327 are swinging away on protesters.
I was actually, this really wasn't my choice to come down here, but unfortunately, working for the system, I got screwed by the system that I worked for. Under the mask and the glasses is a construction worker who was at the World Trade Center site the first week that the towers came down. I voluntarily, on my own, side by side with the FDNY, NYPD, and Port Authority officers, dug side by side with them using our tools, our dump trucks, our cranes, our pickaxes, our chain blocks, our oxyacetylene tanks to burn the steel, side by side with them as a first responder. 10 years later, I can't get disability for that. I can't get workers' compensation. I'm not just here for the first responders that got screwed like myself, but I'm here for everybody else because as I'm here, I'm listening to other people's stories about them having financial difficulties and paying through the roof for college tuition, paying for their high rents, paying for school, selling their clothing and shoes and stuff on eBay just to eat. And it's enough. It's enough already.
The best thing in life is free, but you can give it to the birds and bees. I need some money. Need some money, oh yeah, what I want. Your love give me such a thrill, but your love don't pay my bills. I need money. Need some money, oh yeah, what I want. I need some money, honey. I need some money right away. I need some money so bad. I need some money. Oh yeah, what I want.
Percent of corporations have been convicted of a crime. The FBI issues a detailed, well-publicized, well-researched report on crime each year. They strut out there and they say, here it is. We crunch the numbers and here are your bad guys, your assholes, your bridge trolls, your walking viruses, and look at the amount of harm they've done. And you know what? I thank the FBI for that. But then last year, the FBI slipped up and left corporate crime out of the report. They didn't mention it at all. Oh, wait, that's every year. Every year, the FBI has forgotten to mention the John Madden after Thanksgiving dinner-sized bag of reports on corporate criminals, gangsters with ties on, thugs with cufflinks. Surely not every year. Every fucking year. On average, all burglary and street crime adds up to $4 or $5 billion. On average, corporate crime is in the hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars. And that doesn't count loopholes and sketchy practices that are technically legal, but smell like a rotting rat carcass bathing in French onion soup. Leaving that stuff out of the crime reports is like listing oil spills and leaving out the Exxon Valdez. It's like listing terrorist attacks of the 90s and leaving out the Macarena. It's like listing all of the accomplishments of the Make-A-Wish Foundation and leaving out the rise of David Cameron. It's like listing the best running back of the past 100 years and forgetting to mention Muhammad Ali. I don't know sports. And yet we let these corporate criminals continue to operate. We don't do this in other areas of our lives. In order to have a broadcasting license, you must be of sound moral character, and the FCC can take away that license if you've been convicted of a felony. We don't let child molesters continue to serve as teachers at our schools. We don't let bestialites like Newt Gingrich own a petting zoo. Yet we let corporate criminals continue to run our corporations. We need to name these criminals. We need to see them marched out in a criminal lineup. And the country should be asked, which of these men touched you in the 401k? Which of these men fondled your mortgage and violated your IRA? You know, there's a website that shows you every registered sex offender living in your neighborhood. Let's do the same with corporate criminals. White-collar crime is only different from on-the-street crime in scale. One steals your phone, the other steals your hope. These people shouldn't be allowed to go back and start all over again.
This is a Panaceba reminder to make sure you only practice what certified instructors have taught you. Bad skills are like viruses and can spread through unregulated teaching. They cause confusion by destroying the standard and could lead to misplaced confidence in ungrounded practice. Remember, unlicensed knowledge is pornography. Certification is security.
I saw a poll the other day where they asked people, what would you prefer for America, capitalism or socialism? Well, you know, capitalism won, but among people between 15 and 25, it was about evenly split. In fact, slightly more than a third were for capitalism, about a third were for socialism, and about a third didn't know. I don't know what they meant by socialism there. I assume they just meant whatever capitalism is, that's the other thing. I'm for that. But, you know, that means that two-thirds of young Americans are willing to at least consider getting rid of capitalism entirely. We should think about that.
One, two, three, four. Coal fires burning, deforestation, cookie-cutter houses, no reparation, cars, cars everywhere, highways, asphalt, pop cans, strip mining, extracting cobalt. Industrial civilization is a pyramid scheme. Industrial civilization is a pyramid scheme. Just waiting for the benefits to be seen. Pastor pigeons, sea turtles, prairie dogs, dodo, red wolf, black bear, bald eagle, buffalo, no habitat, extinction, bison, salmon, millions of species are gone, gone, gone. Industrial civilization is a pyramid scheme. Industrial civilization is a pyramid scheme. Just waiting for the benefits to be seen. Rich folks like stealing all the resources, pouring global south off, feeling it the worst. Promises, promises, we'll get our share of the planet we live on, get stripped bare. Industrial civilization is a pyramid scheme. Industrial civilization is a pyramid scheme. Just waiting for the benefits to be seen. Just waiting for the benefits to be seen. Just waiting for the benefits to be seen. Just waiting for the benefits to be seen.
Unemployment levels in cities like Detroit is reaching 20-25%. Cleveland, various cities in the United States. Even in the best-off cities in the United States, people who are in workers, in the working class, they work as wage slaves. That means they work without dignity, without control over their lives, without a sense of opportunity, subject to the whims of owners and bosses. And Occupy Wall Street is about protesting all that. But much more, it's about moving toward an understanding of what can be done instead, moving toward an understanding of how to have a better world, and then moving toward an understanding of how to reach it. Okay, so that's just a few people in New York. That's not such a big deal, except for one thing. Those few people occupied Wall Street, and then there was Occupy This and Occupy That. Occupy San Francisco, Occupy Cincinnati, Occupy Lexington, Kentucky. City after city in the United States began these efforts.
Ozzie Davis used to say, when asked why he was where he was at that moment in time, he said he was there because it is the right moment to be there and the right time to be there. We're here because it's the right time to be here. We're tired and sick and tired of being sick and tired. That's why we're here.
I've been following what's been happening here, and this is really where the hope of America lies. And all of the efforts of intimidation that we've seen by the police in New York, the disproportionate amount of force and the disproportionate numbers that have been deployed to contain the protests here, for me, illustrate that the real people who are scared are the power elite. Of course, they're trying to make you scared and us scared. But I can tell you, having been a reporter for the New York Times, that on the inside, they're very, very frightened. They do not want movements like this to grow. And they understand on some level, whether it's subconscious or in other cases even overt, that the criminal class in this country has seized power.
This whole non-hierarchical structure is really brilliant because they can't destroy the movement like that. The fact that you rotate people through positions of leadership and the fact that you're completely transparent, the fact that you realize that you've clearly been provoked. I mean, Anthony Bologna was, trying to provoke people in that crowd because they want windows smashed. They know how to handle that. They don't know how to handle this. This is driving them insane. And the fact is that I can guarantee you that huge segments of those blue uniform police sympathize with everything that you're doing. And that is the way you can shatter the manacles of control that have been placed on the country by the corporate state.
Of course, the brilliance of Occupy Wall Street, and you got to keep it that way because they don't know how to deal with that. They can't fucking break it. They don't know how to break it. You know, they don't know how to take it out. Because every time they take one of you out, there's 10 more. You have a choice in life between two sets of principles, power and privilege, or justice and truth. And you have to make a choice. And if your fealty and loyalty is to justice and truth, the more you compromise with those whose loyalty is to power and privilege, the more you diminish the capacity for justice and truth.
Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists. Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world. Unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible, and this threatens authority. You were born to be a revolutionary. You can't stand rules because in your heart you know there's a better way. You have strengths dangerous to the establishment, and it wants them eliminated. So your whole life you've been told your strengths were weaknesses. Now I'm telling you otherwise. Your impulsivity is a gift. Impulses are your key to the miraculous. Your distractibility is an artifact of your inspired creativity. Your mood swings reflect the natural pulse of life. They give you unstoppable energy when you're high, and deep soulful insight when you're low. Been diagnosed with a disorder? That's society's latest way to deny its own illness by pointing the finger at you. Your addictive personality is just a symptom of your vast, underused capacity for heroic creative expression and spiritual connection. Your utter lack of repression, your wide-eyed idealism, your unmitigated open mind. Didn't anyone ever tell you? These are the traits shared by the greatest pioneers and visionaries, innovators, revolutionaries, procrastinators, and drama queens, activists on the social scene, space cadets, and mavericks, philosophers, and derelicts, business suits by fighter jets, football stars and sex addicts, celebrities with ADD, alcoholics who seek novelty. First responders, prophets and saints, mystics, and JJJs, we are all the same, you know, cause we're all affected by the way, we are all the same, you know, cause we're all attracted to the flame. Eternal substrate of the cosmos. It guides the very current of time and space.
We're in a crisis here. But when there's a crisis, there are challenges and opportunities. We're here because we're taking the challenge and the opportunity here. We support something that is happening not only here in Oakland. It's happening in more than almost 500 cities around the world. It's happening with young people. It's happening in Chile. It's happening in the Middle East. It's happening on Wall Street. It is about the same thing. We have to take back the world. We have to take back this precious planet that ours. And what does it look like? We don't know what it looks like. We know that there are going to be challenges. And there will be challenges. But at the same time, there's challenges. We know that it's not a weekend party, a weekend parlay. It means that we have to be on the job 24/7, working and organizing. Many men and women are here who come from various organizations, who come from labor. We know what has happened to labor. 88% of the workforce is unrepresented. 88% in a modern society, that's unconscionable. but it has to be a reimagining and a rethinking of what we mean by democracy. It has to be a reimagining and a rethinking of what we mean by work. It has to be a reimagining and a rethinking about what we need by education and what we mean, what it means, importantly, what it means to be a human being. What does it mean to be a human being? What does it mean to be a human being in the 21st century? That's what we're talking about. That's what we have to be. That is what we mean. But it's not simply a revolution. It has to be a revolution and evolution and transformation. We have to be the change that we want to see. Are we willing to stand up for that? Are we willing to stand up for that? Are we willing to stand up there? Young and old. Young and old. It's not only taking back our democracy, we have to remake it. We have to transform it. We have to build something better than that. That's what we have to do. It's let us down. It's failed us. It failed us in our homes. It failed us in our communities. It failed us state by state. But it's also failed this fragile planet we live on. This fragile Mother Earth, which nourishes us. It failed us too. We're on the basis, right on the precipice of ecological collapse. And yet it goes on and talks about growth and development and growth and growth and making more money. Transforming the commonplace into private property and private wealth. To keep doing that. But we have to change that. Let's transform it where people matter more than things. Where money matters. People have to matter. In this whole process, of 65,000 years of human evolution, people have to matter. People have to, we can't, we develop all the technology, everything, but we still lost the mind that people are what matters. What happens to our children and the future of our children, their relationship. The Native American community says not only do they care about the way the planet looks right now, but what does it look like seven generations from now? We have to care about that. We're gonna have to maybe even think about what do I want as opposed to what do I need. We have to recalibrate in our minds what are needs and what are wants. Those are things that we have to do. But that's the embodiment of our own transformation. That's the embodiment of our own evolution. This is what this is about. All these are right now. What it's gonna look like, we don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. None of us out here have a crystal ball. But we work at something. We know, given our strength and based in our faith in humanity, and our faith in humanity, that something else is going to happen. Power to the people!
Solidarity, changes that leave a legacy, rebellions against policy, spirit-infused technology, moments of clarity, things that challenge barbarity, watersheds of sincerity, momentous drives for charity. We are all the same, you know, 'cause we're all affected by the way. Calling, Wayseer. You found your tribe. Welcome home.